Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Adam Sterling with you once again on CFAX 1070. This is Wednesday, June 29th of the year 2022, and there is a lot to talk about on the show as always. Started yesterday during the third hour of the show, 11:26 a.m.
I wanted to talk about physics because you were talking
Hold on just one sec. Hey, can anybody in the 3500 block of Shelbourne Street, law enforcement, anybody else, can you tell me if there's a police incident happening?
11:29 a.m. About that. Yeah, we are hearing some concerning information. I'm getting text messages.
11:33.
You know, Saanich police have issued a tweet saying multiple officers have responded to a police incident.
11:40
by now. All right, folks. I'm getting a lot of texts. Multiple police departments, it would appear.
11:44.
And texted me and pointed out what I said. Folks, if you're in the area of the 3600 block of Shelbourne Street right now, rather than call me, I don't want you to be there. If you're able to avoid that area, you should do so. There's an active police incident.
11:48.
Somebody texted me, 1070-10, saying they see ambulances on scene right now. Saw two ambulances quickly leaving the scene. A texter writes, hope everyone is okay. We didn't get what we hoped for yesterday. Two suspects dead. Six police officers. Three members of Vic PD. Three members of Saanich. All members of the Greater Victoria Emergency Response Team. Gunned down in the line of duty. Many of which, well, all of which, I suspect, rushed to hospital. We're told that many of them required surgery. The full severity of both their wounds as well as their prognosis, not known at this time. We had a couple of callers, Fabian and Jim, called in yesterday and offered first-person witness accounts of what happened. We also had dramatic and shocking video emerge later on in the afternoon. It was on your CTV newscasts last night. I also linked it on social media. I have put together the montage of callers Jim and Fabian with the sound from that video to give us a sense of what happened yesterday. Let's listen.
I actually pulled through the bank parking lot, and there was no parking. And so I went across the street to go to the store. And then as I was doing that, there was one Saanich policeman in the bushes, kind of facing the bank. And then there was another policeman across the street with his gun, his firearm out.
Yes.
So you knew it was pretty serious. And then that policeman then went across the street by Fuegia, and then again he was telling people to back off. And by that time, there was only two policemen there. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the policemen started showing up.
I was at the bicycle shop when everything happened.
Tell us what happened here. You're okay. You're okay now. You can slow down.
Yeah.
Are you all right?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you injured?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm fine. But
unlike that other individual, I thought I'd watch for a bit. But I thought, no, this is starting to kind of look quite dangerous. So I got in my truck, and I was right across the street. And as I was pulling out, you could see there was more policemen. And then the shots started firing.
They were keeping us in the store, and I was going to my truck to go back home. I stopped at the bicycle shop to get some parts. And they, at some point, we heard lots of gun going. And people yelling, and people started screaming of pain. And we saw cops going down. Like it was a freaking movie.
How did you get away?
Oh, my God,
holy
dude. Oh, my God. We are witnessing a freaking bank robbery.
There were multiple shots fired, but as I said, I departed at that point. So that was the front end of the scenario as I saw it.
I saw two policemen get shot, and there's a dead body from the robber in the parking lot. It was just terrible. In Saanich, we just stayed where we were. We went down. We went on the floor. It's like you don't know what to do. You know, you don't expect that in Saanich. You don't expect that never or nowhere. But when you're caught in it, it's just terrible.
Just terrible. It is just terrible. Chief of Saanich Police.
Obviously, the impact to our organization, all our sworn members, civilian members, volunteers are feeling what happened today. And we are here for them, and we will continue to be here for them throughout this.
BC Premier John Horgan.
My thoughts are with the families of those who have been affected by violence in my home community on Vancouver Island.
We even had Prime Minister Justin Trudeau issue a statement on social media. I'm going to read it to you. It says, like many people across the country, Justin Trudeau writes, I am shocked and saddened by the violence in Saanich, British Columbia. I'm keeping the police officers who were injured in today's shooting and their colleagues who also rushed toward danger to keep people safe in my thoughts. BC Solicitor General Mike Farnworth issuing a statement as well last night in support of the Saanich and Victoria Police Departments, each of which had three of their members injured in this incident. Island Health issued a statement yesterday saying they wish to acknowledge the bravery of the members of the Saanich Police Department, Victoria Police Department, Greater Victoria Emergency Response Unit, and all first responders involved in the terrifying incident in Saanich. Victoria Police Chief Del Manick saying that he is extremely grateful and proud of how our officers responded under the highest degree of stress, knowing they were risking their lives to protect others. The Greater Victoria School District has issued a statement saying thank you to the brave members of Saanich Police, Victoria Police, and the Greater Victoria Emergency Response Team for protecting our community. School District says we are keeping all of those who responded and who were involved in today's tragic events in our thoughts. Thank you for your service. Mike Farnworth saying our thoughts are with the Saanich Police and Victoria Police as they grapple with this. Saanich Mayor Fred Haines has actually appeared on a number of media since this horrific incident occurred and was also helping to rebroadcast some of the more concerning information that Saanich Police were trying to get out to the public. Fred Haines, posting yesterday, many of you have heard about the police incident in Saanich. Say this has been a challenging day. Our hearts go out to our officers and their families for their bravery and for their recovery. These are difficult times, Mayor Haines writes. I haven't seen anything from the co-chair of the Victoria Esquimalt Police Board, Mayor Victoria Lisa Helps, yet. Maybe I've just, missed that. Hopefully I've just missed that. I'd be happy to add that to the conversation, but so far I've seen dead silence there, so maybe it's for the best. But this is a very difficult day. This is a day when we are reminded that there are people out there who mean to do us harm, who mean to steal from us, who mean to hurt us, and will do so if given the chance. And when that happens, the only thing standing between us and them are uniformed police officers who, while you and me run away from the danger, they run in a full sprint towards it. And we saw that yesterday on video. Every single one of those police officers you see in that viral video, as far as they know, are running to their death. Why? To buy time for you and me to run away. To be the literal human shield and soak up as many bullets as possible to stop any other bystanders from getting killed potentially. In that second, they are selfless, they are fearless, and they are trained to be those two things. And imagine what it was like for them in that moment. In that moment, as they ran towards what could have been certain death, I certainly hope that they knew how appreciated they are in this community, that they knew how much each and every one of us value their sacrifice and their service, and that they know that all that nonsense we always talk about or always hear about defund this, defund that, oh, police are harmful, disband this, disband that, that those voices mean nothing in the grand scheme of things to those of us who know who has our backs, who know who protects us, and those of us who know some people just like to whine. And you know what? You're allowed to do that in a free and democratic society. I champion your right to do that, in fact. But I just hope that that wasn't what was going through their heads. The stuff that you've said about them as they were running towards what they thought could have been their last seconds on this earth. I hope that what they had in their heads was the truth, that they are supported, that they are valued, and they will continue to be supported and valued. I want to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
It's Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
I was thinking about this yesterday. And Fabian, if you're out there listening, I hope you're okay. And I'm sorry that this happened. Victim Services is available to you and to anyone else who is negatively impacted by crime. Human beings aren't supposed to see the sort of awful thing that you saw yesterday. We're not wired to be healthy after we see that. It changes us. But there are ways that you can mitigate that damage, that you can ensure that you heal as best you can. And if you're experiencing those negative emotions today, all that means is that you're a healthy human being who went through an awful situation that you didn't deserve, and I'm sorry that happened. At least we don't have to worry about them being released on bail and hurting anybody else. No, I'm not being glib. No, I'm not being provocative or sardonic or snarky. I'm communicating my honest feeling to you in the moment that I realized that there were no other suspects at large and you and I were safe. Safer than we'd ever be with a suspect just being taken into custody, because who knows when they're going to get out? Who knows what sort of argument will be made in court where they get let go on a technicality? Maybe they had a difficult childhood, et cetera, et cetera. But that means little if they reoffend and they hurt somebody else. At least little to the victim. Yesterday, there were no victims beyond the police officers, as far as I can tell. The system worked. The shield held, and innocent men, women, and children who were in that area, while some of them, like our caller Fabian, like our caller Jim, were subjected to awful things they saw, awful things they heard, they remained unscathed physically. Why? Because police officers were the human shields that absorbed those bullets before they could get to the point where they could hurt any innocent men, women, or children. Those police officers need our support right now. They need us to keep them in our thoughts, and they will need our support to make a full recovery. The Victoria Police Department has had issues with chronic understaffing and injured officers already. Goes without saying that three other staff members of Vic PD were shot yesterday, so obviously they're not going to be able to return to their duties until they are fully healed. We don't know how long that's going to take. But they need to know it doesn't matter, because they can take all the time in the world. We owe them a debt. They had our backs. They were there for us, and they protected the innocent when it mattered most. I will never forget that viral video for the rest of my life, seeing police officers running full flight, just wind sprinting along the sidewalk towards the sound of the gunfire. There was an officer there with a police service dog, as I'm sure many of you have seen and many of you have pointed out. And that officer has the composure, the professionalism, and the training to maintain appropriate control of that police service dog with his left hand as he minimizes his horizontal cross-section in the field of fire while maintaining an appropriate stance and firing back with his pistol in his right hand. The dog got saved, because if the dog had been released at that point, the dog would have probably run right into the hailstorm of fire and the police service dog would have been killed as well. I'm not sure which police service dog that was. I'm not sure who the handler was. The video isn't clear enough. I hope that both of them are okay and make a full recovery. But that is the sort of split-second professionalism, training, and heroism that you and I have come to expect. That you and I, unfortunately, I think, take for granted more often than we should. In those moments, I'm sorry you went through that, Fabian. I'm sorry you went through that, Jim. I'm sorry that everybody else went through that as well. But there were no bullets with your name on them yesterday, my friends. You did not bleed yesterday. The police officers bled for you. And I hope that all of us can remember that as we have complicated conversations and discussions going forward. But I will never forget that when the chips were down, when the bullets started flying, and when the innocent were in harm's way, police officers, they weren't dressed in tack gear, at least not that I saw. They looked like they were ordinary uniformed officers. They ran right towards the gunfire. They immediately returned fire, and they made the situation safe. And it looks like there's still a dead guy on the pavement this morning under a tarp. Better than being released on bail and hurting somebody else. That's what keeps going through my head. Oh, Adam, you can't say that. You can't say that. Rule of law, due process. Yeah, I know. My logical brain understands all of that and agrees with all of that. Why am I feeling this way, though? It's because of all of us who've been asked to deal with and accept things that no reasonable, decent person should be asked to accept during COVID-19. All of us were made victims again and again and again and again, and we weren't allowed to be victims. We had to feel sorry for the people who were hurting us. We had to be compassionate. We had to be understanding. We had to be tolerant. And so we took one for the team and we pushed it down to that bitter little ball in our core. And we said, I guess we don't matter. I guess we can take one for the team. I guess we can turn the other cheek. I guess we can talk about disbanding the police department as if that isn't just funhouse weirdness. And at the end of the day, It wasn't the wannabe politicians in full flight running towards the bullet. And it never will be either. We know that. We always have. So anyway, texter at 107010 says, Adam, I am just heartbroken for those six heroes who serve our community. Oh, there we go. 9:25 a.m. Mayor Lisa Helps has just issued a statement. Thank you. Says, today the mayors of Esquimalt, Saanich, and Victoria are issuing the following statement in support of our police departments and in recognition of our officers' courage and selfless service. Thank you. This is nice. I appreciate this. There's then a quote. It says, yesterday, in a terrible and violent act, three officers from Saanich and three from Victoria were injured in the line of duty, some with very serious injuries. When these kinds of actions happen, it says, our police departments and our communities that support them are shaken to the core. Yeah, we are. Says, the officers who were injured and to their families, our thoughts are with you, and we are sending love as you move through the following days, weeks, and months of recovery. The statement says, we are humbled by your service, and we offer our heartfelt thanks for your courage as you stood in harm's way to keep our communities safe. Statement says, to all members of our departments, we want you to know that we are here to support you through this challenging and terrible incident. Says, in times like these, we all put together boards, sworn officers, civilian staff, and management. We stand beside each other, and we take care of the most affected, including the psychological trauma of being involved in an incident like this. Statement says, the police departments across our region and the province that have offered assistance, we thank you in advance for your help and support. Says, to the public, incidents like the one experienced by Saanich and Vic PD remind all of us of the courage it takes to be a police officer, and of the selfless sacrifice of all of our officers as they serve our communities on a daily basis, not knowing what a shift might bring. Finding ways to show support in the coming days and weeks is really important, and we encourage everyone to do so. Signed, Saanich Mayor Fred Haynes and Victoria Mayor Lisa Helps. Lisa Helps, thank you for being part of that. It is actually greatly appreciated. Well, now that I've gotten that off my chest, here's what I want to do for the rest of the show today. I know that police officers are out there listening right now. The injured might be out there listening right now. Their families are, I would suspect, out there listening right now. I would like to create a platform where if you would like to express your thanks or your gratitude on this or your support on this, that you can do so. You can call into the show and you can let them know how you feel. Let them know that their sacrifice was not for nothing, that it was not in vain. And let them know that in the painful and difficult weeks to come, that they don't need to rethink the decision they made to run towards that hailstorm of gunfire for a second, because it was always the right thing to do. Because it protected the innocent, it protected these communities, it protected our families, it protected us. And we will not forget the champions who were our protectors in our hour of need in the difficult days to come, where they will likely need us. That's what I would like to do. 250-386-1161. Dev's up first. Hey, Dev, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
All I can say is, wow. Born here, raised here, never had a bad interaction with any police officers. Always been great. I don't even know what to say, Adam. I'm just so thankful for them, for their bravery. And you know, Adam, I'm just thinking about all those people that complained and called them all sorts of names. And I bet you any money, Adam, if they were in that bank, they would be begging the police to come and being and would be very thankful for the police. So I just want to say thank you. I'm in the days ahead. I want to know, you know, these people that tried to do this. I'm interested to know if they were living in a facility that taxpayers funded. I would like to know where those guns came from, if they were legal or illegal. And I think they were illegal. There's lots of questions, but today I just want to say thank you to them and their families. Adversity does not build character, it reveals character. And boy, these police officers, I tell you, Adam, I have nothing but praise. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dev. I totally agree with what you said. And I want to thank Mayor Lisa Helps for issuing that statement and being part of this. And I want to thank everybody. Even if you don't agree with it, even if you don't like the idea of talking about how dangerous these jobs are, We have to be there for our people. They're there for us. It's not fair for us to ask them to put their lives on the line and then sit there and go, maybe they're not needed after all. They are needed. They always have been. The IIO will investigate this, and it's important that it be allowed to do so. But in my judgment, every single officer who ran towards danger yesterday is a hero. And they'll be remembered like that. Quick break. We're back after the news.
Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Thank you, Victoria Mayor Lisa Help, Saanich Mayor Fred Haines, for issuing this statement of support. Wasn't sure we'd see one, and I'm happy that we did, and I'm happy that what I wrote online was a pattern that I had noticed. Maybe it wasn't a pattern after all. Maybe it was just a figment of my imagination, so I'm pleased to be wrong about this, and I thank you for your contribution. 250-386-1161, letting you weigh in on this. And given that the families and the members of Victoria and Saanich Police Department are all out there listening right now, here's your chance to let them know how you feel. Genevieve's up next. Hey, Genevieve, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I want to offer my thanks to our local constabularies for their part in what they did yesterday in trying to keep us safe. I also want to say how sorry I am that six of them were hurt, and I really want to express my sorrow and say thank you to their families. They must be going through hell. And I also want to say I apologize to our police for being shot at in the way that they were. And there is no doubt in my mind that we need them. We have always needed them. And I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Please stay safe.
Thank you, Genevieve. 250-386-1161, star 1070. Let's go next to Shelley. Shelley, welcome to Open Lines. Good morning. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning, Adam. I was one of the hostages in the bank yesterday.
Really? What?
Yeah, I was a customer.
Tell us what happened. Like, around what time did you get there?
Well, it was actually, ironically, it was my first time ever at that bank. I happened to have an appointment with the bank manager at exactly 11 o'clock. And I guess they decided that they had planned a robbery at 11 o'clock on June 28th. Yeah, it was my bad luck.
So what happened? Like, so you're in you're in the bank? Or
I want to just tell you why I'm calling you, though.
Okay.
Can I just tell you a little bit of a story?
Yeah.
I listen to you all the time.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I live in Langford.
Yeah.
And I was driving into my bank appointment, and I was listening to you speak yesterday, as you do, about defunding the and supporting the police, the Victoria Police, and how the city, the Victoria, and the defunding of the police, and then the Saanich Police, and how the Saanich support the police, and Victoria doesn't, et cetera, et cetera. Your yesterday's discussion. And I've been listening to that discussion on my way in, and I park my vehicle in the parking lot at the Bank of Montreal, and I go to my appointment. And then this incident happened. And I was cowering when I under a desk as I hear bullets being fired, and this whole incident happened. And later, I was every single officer that I interacted with, and I thanked every single officer, every first responder, every victim assistance person that I interacted with all day yesterday. And I told them this little story. And I said, I will be calling Adam Sterling tomorrow morning, and I will be praising every single one of you. I will be thanking you on the air tomorrow morning. And they said, oh, well, thank you very much. But that's why I am calling you now.
Shelley,
I am giving a shout out to them, because every single one of them in this chaotic, frenetic, absolutely insane incident that happened in Victoria, where there were armed men with assault rifles, they handled themselves, every single one of them, so professionally. And then later dealing with the 22 of us in the bank, a few customers and mostly staff who were held hostage, they were caring and calm and kind. And there were so many officers dealing with us and helping us all along the whole path yesterday.
All right. Shelley, you can
help. And I'll tell you what happened.
Okay. Yeah, oh, absolutely I do, Shelley. So you had an appointment for 11 o'clock. Around what time did you arrive at the bank?
Well, actually, I'm on time.
You're on time.
I'm usually late. It's a bit of a joke, but actually right on time. And I had an appointment with the bank manager.
Okay, so it's 11 o'clock. You're parking your vehicle in the parking lot. You walk into the bank. What happens next?
And I just happened to sit down with the manager.
Yeah.
And we had spoken for probably 2 minutes. And all of a sudden, there's a loud boom, like the loudest explosion.
Just one?
Just one.
Okay. What happens
and
then?
I said, and then it's dead silent. And I said, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he said, we're being robbed. And he knew right away. And he went and grabbed a key. And I go, do I get on the floor? I look around, and it's dead silent. And everybody, I can see that everyone's gotten down on the floor. That no one has spoken. We hear no voices. And I look up in the doorway, and not even 2 feet away from me is a man, I'm assuming, in full assault gear, holding an assault rifle, just standing there.
How was he dressed? Could you see his face?
No. He had on a balaclava, but it's a different kind of a balaclava, but fully covered with body armor, vest, and covers his calves were covered with something with motorcycle. I equated it to something like a motorcycle calf covering, but it's not that.
Okay.
Straps across it looked like he could have had knives on either side. I only say that just because I used to scuba dive and it looked like he had something on either side of his calf. I told the police this in an interview.
Yeah.
And and holding an assault rifle pointed up at the ceiling.
What did they say?
Not a word. Well, calm. The energy from them was completely calm. There was calm voices. When they did speak, it was just calm voices.
What did they tell you?
The manager knew right away. The guy said, vault. And the manager said, here's the keys. And he said, move. Just pointed him. And he just came with him. The manager just walked out of his office.
Okay.
Left me there in the office. And so there was not a word. It was so silent. And I could just see from the shadows in the glass of the doors in that Bank of Montreal that there was, everybody was on the ground. And I could see I could only see one person at a time, but I could hear another, a voice.
Yes.
A very, very soft voice, almost whispering voice.
Mm-hmm.
Not crazy like it's on the movies or anything.
Okay.
And he was pacing, just walking back and forth past the office that I was in.
Yes.
Like he was going for a walk in the park, just pacing calmly back and forth, as if he was waiting for something.
It was two,
and,
yes?
Well, yeah, yes, at the time.
Okay.
So as he paced by me, I was trying to hide by a chair, and I reached to my purse, and I grabbed the phone, and I called 911. And then I left it, an open line. And then just told them that there was two men with assault rifles, and get the police there right away, and there was hostages. And left it an open line. And then I heard another voice tell everybody to get up and go into the vault. But they forgot about me. So for a while, they had missed me. I had been trying to hide, and then he kept facing this one person back and forth. And then I was trying to hide, and I guess he saw me because he stood there, looked at me, and motioned with a hand gesture to get up.
What did you do?
I slid the phone. Second guess yourself. I slid the phone sort of so he couldn't see it.
Yeah.
And so I left that open line for the police, slid my cell phone, and got up and followed him to where the other people were standing, which was a hallway, and everybody was standing lined up against the wall. I don't know if there was a vault or not, but stand up against the wall where you could not now see anything at all that was transpiring. Mm-hmm. And it was just dead silent the whole time.
What happened next?
And then we stood there and stood there and waited and waited and waited. And then you heard Nothing. We heard nothing at all. We had no idea what was transpiring outside. We could not hear any sirens. I don't think there were any sirens. Nothing. We didn't know what was going on. And then there was it was announced a loud voice, police, and then a hail of gunfire. And everybody ran to a room. I guess the employees know that there's a file room to hide in. I guess they're trained for this type of stuff.
Yes.
I went to a room that was right in front of me, which was right beside the hallway.
Yes.
And there was a hail of gunfire. That's what you heard. And I guess, yeah, it seems to take a long time, but I guess I now see the videos on social media. No, it's just terrifying to know that that was taking place outside. And I'm so deeply saddened and sorry that officers were injured in trying to attempt, like, doing that to help us get out safely. Because it seems that what I'm hearing in the media, the people in the bank, no one seems to know that the people were still in the bank.
No, I didn't know. We didn't know. Like I'm learning all of this right now for the first time.
I know when I heard you speak this morning that you didn't seem to know that there were 22 people in the bank.
What happened after you heard the gunfire? Did people scatter? Did you talk?
No,
what did you do?
No. After the gunfire, the other 21 people had ran down the hallway. They didn't know where to go. They were mostly the employees. I believe there was about four customers.
Where did you go?
Well, there was a room that I was kind of in, like it was where you actually, I understand now, it's where you put your safety deposit boxes.
Yeah.
In that bank. And there's basically a shelf, and I was under the shelf. Yeah, it's by the hallway. I don't know if people who have been into that bank will know where I'm speaking about.
How long were you there for?
Well, it seemed like a really long time, but now that I've spoken with the police and stuff, I guess we were in there for an hour, and we waited then after the gunfire, then there was silence, and we just waited until we heard again police, and we kept waiting until actually we saw officers come in, and then they said they were still clearing the building to wait where we were, and then they, you know, kept going through the building, and there were some employees that were upstairs, a couple of women, the poor woman, excuse me, who was pregnant, was upstairs. She's an employee of the bank. She had hidden in the locked closet.
My God.
Yeah, she's in her third trimester. She had no idea what was going on. Through all she heard, she had apparently seen the gunman when they arrived, and couldn't alert anybody because it happened so quickly, and she locked herself in the closet upstairs and knew nothing and just heard gunfire and then was released by when the police came upstairs. And, you know, she's, of course, severely traumatized. Another manager, I believe, knew nothing, had heard maybe a silent alarm. I'm not sure what she said, but she was in the very back office, and again, knew nothing, and then heard gunfire, and then was released by the police. So these people had no idea what was going on.
When did you get your phone back?
Okay. Wow, that wasn't for a long time.
Okay, because I'm thinking because you had no phone, you had no clock.
No, like this. And the some people that did carry their phone to the back while we were waiting at the back, they were trying to maybe make some calls or texts, and they couldn't get a line out. And I understand now that maybe the lines weren't accessible.
Or they had you standing in a place where they knew the phones wouldn't work. I'm not sure.
I don't know either.
Okay.
Yeah. I do understand there was an awesome officer, Samson. I got to give a shout out to him. He is with the Vic PD, but I don't know what branch. Anyway, he was one of the officers that came in after and was taking statements in our names and helping us and, you know, reassuring us because we knew absolutely nothing that had transpired outside. We weren't able to have we didn't know anything. Okay, we didn't know anything at all. How many police were out there? Who had been injured? We didn't know anything. And then when somebody finally did get a hold of the branch, one of the branch, or maybe the spokesperson of the BMO, and to assure them that the employees were okay in the bank, they were speaking with them. on their iPad, and he said something like, okay, so about the dead people.
Ooh.
And then there was a customer in the bank, and she just really, really wanted to, like, rush through the police officers that were standing in their way. We couldn't even see outside.
Yeah.
And because her husband had been outside waiting for her the whole time, in the parking lot. And
yeah.
She assumed he was still in a parking lot waiting. She was so frightened.
Exactly.
Exactly. And so, you know, her and I were saying, can you just please go find him? This is his name, and this is what he looks like. Can you just go out and get him and bring him in or something? Can't you just do something? Like, we're innocent. We just came into the bank, and we're all innocent here. And another officer, I don't know his name, Scott, I think.
Yeah.
He's with Big PD. He went out, and then he came back, and he was so awesome because he told us, like, he assured us, no civilians have been injured. Because, you know, it's horrible. Like, all these officers, I mean, everybody was doing this to save us and get us out of there safely, because it could have gone so horribly wrong. These guys were there, masked men. Like, they looked like they stepped out of GTA, really. And there's another lady there, this poor old lady. And, you know, like, she's like, she just thought this was Texas all over, you know. That was another innocent customer. Like, well, I mean, everybody was innocent. And to hear, like, when they finally got us out, okay, so Officer Sampson, I'm sorry, you asked about my phone. They weren't going to let me take anything. My phone was down in their office with my purse and my car keys. My Bronco is still in the parking lot. It's being held as a crime scene.
Yeah.
I don't know if it got hit by bullets or anything. It might have. I don't know. They won't tell me anything.
Yeah.
But I said, please, can you just, I can't even get into my house if you don't get me my car keys and my cell phone, please. And they wouldn't let me go across the bank, walk across the floor. And finally, he said, okay, as they were taking us out, they got a transit bus for us. They were taking us out down the side, around the back of the building of the Bank of Montreal. They were going to take us by transit down to the PD station to take all our statements and record us all individually, statements. And he, just before we left at around, I think it's 12:30, maybe 1 or 1 o'clock. No, I think it was like 12:30. Although it seemed like so much longer, he went into the office and got it for me. And apparently the line was still open to 911. So that was awesome because he cleared it. He told them his badge number or something, and he cleared it.
You were the one who called in the cavalry, by the sounds of it, Shelley.
I guess I did.
You helped save everybody.
I don't know if that was brave or stupid. Because
that was very brave. That was exceptionally brave, Shelley. You should be proud of that.
Well, thank you. I just think it just could have gone horribly wrong if that guy had lowered his weapon at any time. But then at the same time, I don't really feel that I was that, like, their energy. I don't know what they wanted. That's what I'm thinking. What was this for? Like, they could have left. They could have just taken the money and left right away. What were they waiting for? They knew they couldn't have left. When I walked across that street, and I just looked up and down Shelburne, I know that area so well.
Yeah.
And the red and blue and all the officers, and I saw everything closed. I felt so safe. I felt so protected. All of that came out for us and helped us. I can't, I'm so thankful. I'm so, so grateful. I don't even know what to say today. I couldn't even sleep all night, like, for everything, for being scared, but then for being traumatized, for thinking about all the other people that were there and went through this. Then I remember reading some Twitters from the reporters, and I thought, oh my gosh, the reporters, like, how traumatized are they? And that poor guy that has been there all night reporting, and, like, oh my gosh, like, I forgot about that, and I feel bad that I forgot about other people.
No. You don't feel bad about anything, Shelley. You did everything right. You did your part, and you called it in. That's what all of us do. And you know what happened from my point of view? I had people texting me and DMing me and Facebook messaging me saying, Adam, something just happened. I'm out in the West Shore, and I just saw a bunch of RCMP vehicles all together for no reason turn on their lights and literally scream down the highway in the other direction. I had people texting me from Sydney saying that they had the same thing. They were coming down. They were coming to save you.
Isn't that incredible? Like, I feel so, I'm so, like, I don't even have words, and I should have words because I talk a lot, as you just heard. Like, Adam, I'm just blown away. And, you know, Adam, thank you so much for keeping this up. Like, you keep all this stuff on the agenda. You keep it on the table. You keep talking about it every day. That's your job. They came out and that's their job. But running toward gunfire, and I told 911, there it's assault rifles. It isn't little pistols.
No.
It isn't a note being passed. And I'm really happy that I didn't know, but you know, it went through my head really quickly. If a silent alarm goes off, the police don't know that it's assault rifles.
Not
they don't
necessarily.
Know what they're for robbery,
you helped.
Right?
Yep. You helped.
So
you warned them.
I thought, okay, good, because, and also, you don't know the mentality of whoever's in there either,
no.
Right? And I don't know either. Like, what were these guys? You know, I've been reading some texts on, you know, Twitter and Facebook,
yeah.
You know, and people are like, okay, it's really sorry that these guys were killed, but, oh, there should be an investigation into why the police shot and killed them.
Well,
why the police shot and killed them? Let me tell you.
Why?
How about an investigation into what's the mentality, what happened? Why did these guys wait around? What were these guys trying to do? Why did they do this in the first place? Why were they armed with assault rifles in Saanich?
We don't know yet.
Do a robbery in daylight. No, that's the investigation, not why the police shot and killed them. Of course that was going to happen when these guys meandered their way out of a bank. What did they think was going to happen when they armed themselves with assault rifles and wait around for a half an hour? Did they think they were just going to walk out of the bank and get in their car and drive away?
We don't
know. That's the investigation.
Shelly, I want to say
thank you
for... No, don't apologize at all. You need to get this off your chest, and I thank you for sharing
you.
It with us.
Thank you. I got to go to victim services now. That's another great...
We need to get your phone number, because we're going to want to talk to you more today, all right?
Okay, sure.
I'm going to put you on hold, and our producer is going to get your personal information, and we're going to make sure that we give you a platform, a safe space for you to tell your story. Shelly was a hostage in yesterday's situation, dramatic first-person account that we're all hearing for the first time. I'm still processing it here, as I'm sure many of you are. We're going to take a quick break, and I want to say thank you to Shelly. I want to say thank you to every single first responder who came to the rescue yesterday. I want to say thank you to every single person who managed to keep it together. I do what I do to try to do my part for a system that protects the innocent, Shelly. All the thanks in the world that I'm sure those police officers will ever need and all of us will ever need is the fact that you are alive today to tell your story, because it sounds like yesterday. What the hell happened there? There are still more questions than answers. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Shelly, thank you for your bravery. Thank you for your courage under literal fire by the sounds of it. And thank you for helping us better understand this. Folks, I don't fully understand what happened yesterday. Who were these men? I've had some people ask me, Adam, do you think that they were campers from the Mount Tomy facility? No, I don't, actually. What we saw yesterday involves a level of sophistication that I don't think we've seen in that area before, at least from what I can tell at this point. Shelley's also adding more information, as well as some things that I've been hearing behind the scenes in terms of trying to figure out who these guys are. And I don't know who these guys are. Many questions remain outstanding at this time. We're going to make sure Shelly has the supports that she needs from this community to make sure that she is okay. We're going to make sure that all of the other customers have the supports that they need. We're going to make sure the police have the supports that they need. Everybody is going to be okay. That's how we're going to get through this. We're going to lean on each other just like we did to make it this far. Shelly, I promise you, we will make this okay. We're going to be in touch soon. Thank you for sharing your information with us. Quick break. Let's go to the newsroom. Fred Haynes, Mayor of Saanich, is up next.